Grace Hour Show. We are a Christian program, and we dive into things that are related to daily challenges, and we want to help you learn your faith, your Christian faith, in a practical way. I'm Pastor Steve Androlonis, and with me today in the studio, Pastor Tom Schaller. We're talking this week about families and, you know, the way families can get dysfunctional, I guess. That's a big term. It's a word. We'll give a definition maybe in a moment about what dysfunction is, according to some mental health officials or experts, as they call them. I don't know how they become experts. I'm sure there's a process that goes on with that. But we'll be talking about interpersonal conflict and the offenses that can happen in close proximity in families. And you can call us, share your thoughts on this, maybe. 1-800-338-7060 is a nationwide number, also stretching into the rest of North America. 1-800-338-7060 is the number. Here locally in Baltimore, 410-483-3700 is the number to use. You could also use that number if you're outside of North America, and make sure you let us know that you are calling from outside of North America so we can get your call right on the air. You can look at us here at Facebook Live and also YouTube and other platforms, and there's a place there, a chat function that you could type a question, and we could address those questions as we get into the conversation today. So conflict, offense, these things are just real. The Bible's a real book. It does set up this scenario, these scenarios, right away in the Bible, right away in Genesis, Cain and Abel. We have that situation. We also have Esau and Jacob. We also have Joseph and his brothers. Before we get out of one book of the Bible, we can see that what is dysfunctional family? Conflict, misbehavior, abuse. This is from Mental Health America. This is a definition that you can find online. And relationships between family members can be tense, and there can be neglect. There can be yelling and screaming. There could be physical confrontations. And sometimes we feel, you know, just to keep the peace, family members may feel forced to accept negative treatment, and to grin and bear it maybe is like a phrase that's used, right, Pastor? And so sometimes when the dysfunction becomes entrenched, it seems like there's no space to express the feelings or thoughts, that kind of thing, freely. And so what's God's heart with this, Pastor? What would we say God's heart in dealing with conflict and the offense that can happen in in proximity, you know?
Maybe the question, well, we all know, like maybe we've seen some movie where there's a trailer park and there's a single parent and there's fighting, yelling and throwing things and broken windows and dog barking in the driveway and a child leaves and brokenhearted and you know, we know how life can be. So we like to find the baseline for what's normal. And when we turn to the Bible and we turn to Christ, we turn to God, he developed a whole civilization by giving the Jewish people law.
Yeah.
And the law became the bedrock for their society. So parents taught children, Deuteronomy 10 and 11. They learn to forgive, to love, to treat their neighbor in a nice way, to follow after God. So in the New Testament, we have Mark 3 when Jesus said, "Who is my mother or my brethren? Behold, my mother and my brethren, for whoever will do the will of God, the same is my brother, my sister, my mother." So the problem, of course, is when we don't know how God thinks, we don't know how we should think, we live in a reaction, we can have, you know, all of those lower level impulses, appetites that we have as people that are not being challenged by truth. Mm-hmm. So then you have a dysfunctional family. Potentially, we all have that potential, but it's really God that has helped us a lot to live what would we call a
Yeah, I guess
normal
we shouldn't be
life.
Surprised, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I guess that's the thing, is like we're looking through the pages of the Bible. We talked before the show. We're looking through the pages of the Bible. We're thinking of the Bible. Is there like a functional family example for us? You know, we would, you know, when in the 50s, we go to TV, there's Father Knows Best, there's Leave It to Beaver, these families that are even like Gilligan's Island, you know, these TV shows show people operating together, you know, and working through conflicts. And it's, you know, a neat 22 to 23 minutes. There's a challenge and there's a conflict. The father has it, or the, you know, someone figures it out, you know, that kind of thing. And, I think we're comforted. I'm comforted by the Bible because when I go to the Bible, I don't see pat answers. We don't see like a formula, you know, really. And I think that's by design, don't you?
Yeah,
it's like it's designed to bring people into the place where God is drawing us near to him and ultimately to like the church. There is the nation of Israel that had lived in these centuries of slavery and oppression under Egypt. And then they were brought out. But when they were brought out of that oppression, you know, now they're given space and freedom, and they still have to live with themselves, you know. And, the Bible is really trying to draw people to a relationship with God. And these dysfunctions, these offenses, these problems that crop up between people, you know, is showing that apart from God and his way, there really isn't any way, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
no, I'm thinking of just maybe under the category of dysfunctionality, you have a spectrum of 1 to 10, let's
say.
And like there's verbal, you know, blow ups and tantrums, and then you have some serious physical abuse or sexual abuse that happens, pedophilia, and horrible criminal things. So not everything hits a criminal level.
Yeah.
So we have a challenge in our program to kind of like just touch on a lot of different aspects to it.
Really?
I mean,
it runs the gamut, doesn't it?
Yeah, the criminal thing, let's leave that alone.
Yeah.
And get more to like just what could happen in any family. And that's, you know, some manipulation, using guilt, an unforgiving spirit. And this is in a house. Now, families also grow up and they are in 3 or 4 different houses, and maybe in the same area, maybe not. But you have your family. So then it moves. But the dysfunctionality that we're talking about is in one house with a group of people that are making it miserable. Mm-hmm. And they grow to learn that that miserable state of life is like normal. Mm-hmm. And they might even desire it, to be honest, like bread eaten in secret is pleasant, you know.
Yeah, like, yeah, toxic things can be, you know, if you get intoxicated, there's a stimulation part of it, and then there's the hangover.
Right.
You know,
and hatred is like
hatred
that.
Hatred is, and bitterness, grudges, you know, nurturing, because it's, you know, what's a gall. I think you've done this several times over the past few years, just talking about the nature of gall, and the bitterness can be like almost a drug, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people can enjoy it. It seems. You know, counter to what would make our family flourish, but like some people do like bury hatreds and grudges and live in this kind of, you know, what is it called? There's a term for it. What's it called? Passive aggressive kind of like, you know, I'm passive.
Yeah,
I'm not going to be aggressive, but I'm going to bury this grudge deep inside of me. There is this little thing that I keep for myself. Yeah,
they're very nice. But then when they get a chance, they lash out.
Yeah.
All right, so.
And if you don't find a place really to pour out that bile, you know, it comes out in, you know, in over communication, you know, maybe angry communication, over communication, and then it's like we said, we're going to leave those worst case scenarios to the legal clinical kind of thing, but like how do we become like a family of grace and forgiveness tenderness and there's always a place at the table for you to come to.
Mm-hmm.
And where can we, you know, how do we help families be that way? I guess that's the challenge of the church, right?
Yeah. So let's make the parameters for what we're talking about. That is, we're talking to Christians mostly today.
Yes.
Okay. So they know, you know. But we also know in a family it can get edgy. But our message today is detect the dysfunctionality and address it and just say to the family, no, we can't live like this.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't the way I want to live. I want to live the way Jesus teaches us to live. And I want to be in his family, and I want our family to function in a way that he teaches us how we treat each other and how we love each other, how we forgive each other.
Yeah. Now, you quoted that passage from Mark. It's interesting that before you get to that passage, why were Jesus's mother and brothers there? It's because it was almost like an intervention, a rescue mission, because it seemed to them that he was beside himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so here we see in Jesus's own family that they had a sense of who he was.
Mm-hmm.
Mary understood, whether the brothers understood this. I think John chapter 7 seems to see that the brothers did not believe him. You know, there's that passage there, and they were trying to push him. Well, you know, show who you really are. You know, there's that pushing. But here it looks like they're trying to rescue him. And Jesus answers that, you know, he brings it very practically. Those who hear the word of God and do it are create the ultimate family. Is that, do you see it in that?
Yeah, I do.
In that light?
Yeah, I do see it that way.
You know?
I do see it that way. Now, you mentioned earlier, let's say in the Bible, we have those things that happen. We have Cain killing Abel. We have Joseph betrayed by his brothers. We have Esau and Jacob having a problem. Jacob's sons, he had 12 sons, and they really were not always good guys. They weren't really good guys.
No,
like Joseph was, but presumably Benjamin. But actually, let's admit the fact that our families can go in a bad direction.
Off the rails, yeah.
But I like what you said earlier, that like there isn't any, like wherever you are at in life, you can in a moment turn to God and he will help you.
Mm-hmm.
And like just to have the radar to say that when my kids are not talking with each other, let's say, you know, and they don't have to be talking, but at least a good attitude, like have a sit down talk and just say, listen, I want my kids to love each other. Yeah. I want you guys to get along and I want you to sort out your problems so you cannot bear grudges. You cannot be unforgiving, and you cannot be not loving.
Yeah.
Like, that's normal for us in our family.
Mm.
What would you say if you were to address your family or you know, either in the real way or in imaginative way, but you get the idea. When you see it goes to the edge, what is that edge? And how do you pull them back?
Well, how do you pull them back? I guess not leaving the room. I mean saying not, you know, keeping things, you know, being able to say what you need to say and not like bottle it up. I think that's the thing. Mm-hmm. Our family is a very open family. We say things, you know, as long as we're not dishonorable.
Yes.
This is the thing. Like disagreeing is constant, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's disagreements. We have our own opinions. There have been disappointments, but dishonor is the thing. Like honor your father and your mother, and you know that your days will be long on the earth. Like how does a family stay together? I think it's honoring. You have this connection between your father and your mother are who they are, and there's an honor for that. And I think this is really the secret. Being dishonorable is where you get, like, do you honor where you came from? And this is like, you can't dismiss that, you know, where, you know, you can't dismiss like where your origins are. You can't become alienated. I think that is like, don't alienate yourself and walk away from the table when like you should be able to, you know, put those things on the table, be willing to say those kind of things, not to bury them deep. And it's, you know, that I think is the biggest thing, is the open lines of communication, the welcome. You know, everyone is welcome. You know, you don't shut the door, bar the door, and lock it away, throw away the key.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you have to be able to share that, to be able to disagree, to be able to express your disappointment, to even have a dispute. And a dispute may linger for, you know, more than an hour or two. But, mm-hmm. like, to dishonor what has been put together, what God has put together, like, and that's the thing. Like, God puts people together and creates these families and allows them to happen, and you can't dishonor that, you know.
Very good.
Is that a good answer?
I don't know. That's a really good answer.
But I think that's the whole, I think really this is the root of iniquity, is to dishonor. It's like, I think if we go back, you know, we don't have a lot of information about what happened to stimulate the rebellion that Lucifer organized, but it comes to a dishonor of who is to be glorified, the Creator, and really a dishonor for the way that you're made. Like, God made you this way, and you aren't happy with that. And mm-hmm. so it's really a dishonor to the Creator who puts you in that place. I don't know. That's a whole nother conversation, isn't it? I mean, it really is. Like, but we know that there is, like, when we read the first couple chapters of Job, we see the dishonor. Yeah. Job is such a good guy, but he only serves you because you've made his life so good. And God knows Job at another level, and he's going to let this play out. It's like an interesting kind of thing, you know?
No, I think you hit a lot of good points there. My question was, if you see a family member or the whole family in a way goes towards the edge, meaning, you know, there really is a cancer at work and the mindset of an individual that's contaminating, so to speak, or the whole family is starting to think and shift away and break up and come apart because of those little worms kind of that eat the cancer that kind of eats in the hearts of people. And to go back to, yes, we might have disagreement. Yes, we might have like an outburst. We might get upset. But let's go back to the honor.
Yeah.
And that's like, what do you mean? Honor God.
Yeah.
Honor mom and dad. Honor the fact that God made us children, the children, which are now whatever, 10 years old, 14, 18, 25, 35 years old. And they would say, you know, God made us, put us together. We are a family, and we've got to respect each other.
Yeah.
And love each other. And pray for each other. Mm-hmm. Care for each other.
And I think it's, you know, to think of Christ and to think of what he did and how he did it, and to think of like God incarnating himself to put himself in a real family and to live exposed like that to everything that we are exposed to. It's like, I think we maybe miss that part of the incarnation, is that Jesus was part of a real family and watched it and grew up in the midst of it and felt all of the kind of tension that goes on in a family. And then here in this passage, like, the family feels embarrassed, maybe. Like, you know, the John the Baptist has come and gone. He's a family member now. Jesus, oh my gosh, Jesus is doing this. And like, we have to go and like sort of fix this, you know. But Christ exposed himself to all of that. So we, you know, Hebrews tells us that we don't have an advocate who is untouched or unaffected or hasn't experienced the same kind of family dynamics that we have experienced. You know, Jesus, you know, it says, you know, those three phases, Jesus came to his own and his own received him not, you know, and then Jesus is going to come back in the rapture and take his own to him. And then he's going to come back again with his own. But that first part, he came to his own. He came to this family, lived among the Jewish people, was a very Jewish boy, honoring all of the feasts and everything like that, got lost at age 12 from his mother. All of those kinds of things are real, but Jesus knows those feelings just as we know them as a human being. Mm-hmm. And that's like, I mean, is that, you know, we got to honor that. Like, reality is like Christ knows every feeling that we could have, you know. And that is like, that's why I point to the cross. It's like, what can we tell a family member who feels alienated and feels like he can never find his place in the family? Well, Christ knows exactly how you feel. And, you know, we really don't have like a better answer than to go to the cross and see Christ there. And this is the result of him putting himself in the midst of human beings and, you know, feeling all of their tensions, and then also being subject to their tensions and the violence that comes from those tensions that put him on the cross. Anyway,
okay.
I said a lot of things there, but I'm not sure. Let's see, what do we have here from some of the questions? Projections, like, I guess maybe favoritism, insecurity, jealousy, those kind of things are all a part of a family dynamic, and we see them at work, right? In Joseph's family, right?
I like to go back to the whole point about what is the baseline for our thinking when it comes to a functional family. Like, we have dysfunctional, but then what is a normal? What is the baseline for ours? Let's make a short list. Like, you covered it, but love. With love, you have a lot of words like patience, thinking no evil, rejoicing in truth, you know, 1 Corinthians 13. So, excuse me, love, service. Like, to have a family member that is really into like serving and caring is like a beautiful thing. You have somebody that's making calls, or somebody says, I'll bring the food, or I'll make the food, I'll set up the event, or a family member that is like caring or compassionate. Just like in the body of Christ, you have many gifts. So in a family, you have a various like expressions mm-hmm. that are what we not dysfunctional, but functional
mm-hmm.
that bring out the best of other people
yeah.
that are in the family. So when we start to leave that and we are selfish and we are independent and not submitting and not honoring, then you have a recipe for the family to kind of operate in dysfunction or even fall apart.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Proverbs, you know, Proverbs 27, we have those verses. They sort of build on each other. And the way that I look at them, iron sharpens iron. So we know that family people are different. You have something different. I have different skill set than my brother, you know. And do I recognize that and accept it? But then it, you know, it says the next part of it, like he who serves and sees the others as maybe his master, you know, he'll eat the fruit of that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, the next verse. It's Proverbs 27:17. And then I think 18 is like, you see that. And then the third, I think, part of that is like, you know, face to face, as face answers, as you look into water, you see your face. And like when you look into your family members, you see your face, and there's a lot of characteristics that are different. And of course, in any pond, there's a lot of stuff that's buried underneath the surface. And so I think those three verses sort of say, like, they give us an idea that there are parts of each of us that are locked in. They're iron, you know, it's mm-hmm. like sort of those things are, you know, they're given by God maybe. And it says iron sharpens iron. So like, if you want to put a better face on things, you can accept that iron sharpens iron. You've ever seen that? You probably saw it a lot in the butcher shop with your dad, you know, sharpening the knife and then going to do the thing, like that kind of thing. So we know that there can be sparks with that too. So there's like some tensions can serve well, and it's like, you know, but not thinking that everyone is going to be the same. But then like the service part of it is the second part. Like, yeah, what I am, I should use to serve in the family. And so we see that in, you know, God bringing that into the family dynamic, and then in the church life, we see that expanded. And that if you find yourself like, you know, detached and alienated from your physical family, your natural family, God has created this other space for us. You know, this place for the fatherless to find a father.
Mm-hmm.
And, we're, you know, that's why.
Now, would you say, you know, let's say a family of four people or six people, that it's possible that there would be one in there that is like an Esau and spiritually unreconcilable what's normal. So you live with a black sheep in the family, I guess you
could
say.
You know? Yeah.
Or like a Judas is at the table at the Last Supper, and he just doesn't fit in the group. So, like, we live with that.
Yeah.
Like, that's part of life. So, what can you do for that? You know, I mean, you pray, you recognize it maybe, you pray for the person, you love the person. You keep the channels of communication open as much as possible, but you might not spend your family vacation with them.
That's true.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess forgiveness, prayer. I think like there is a tendency to try and live in compromise. And I don't think that really gets very far. You know, like if you are compromising, you know, you have a family member who's living in a situation that, you know, well, we're going to let it go. You know, we're not going to address it. Like you're saying, like there's an elephant in the room. We're not going to address the elephant.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's only going to get you so far, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
Right?
So,
I mean, I think you're serving. How do you serve that person to draw like a better, you know, some sort of good fruit out of it? Like, but don't sow, you know, but don't fertilize the bad fruit that's going to only take them even deeper into what they are. I think you're right. Prayer, forgiveness, living your, you know, I think in our family, we have purpose to be like, church is like the center of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Church is like a really big part of our lives. And like, if the, if our extended family is having something, you know, we will calculate, we will make a calculation, you know, what's, you know, will we,
what to attend
and will we like enter into some of the things that are a part of the attention? Like at weddings, at some weddings, you may find lots of alcohol and you might find like, you know, a dance floor and like, okay, no alcohol, but we may enter into like some of the dancing, we're not going to compromise this. And someone may come, oh, come on, have a drink with me. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Just yeah. not happening. I just right. know where that could take me.
Right.
That kind of thing, you know?
Right.
I don't know if I'm answering your question there, but I'm saying like, you know, there are, like you're saying, there's black sheep in the family. How much they're welcome at the table. You know, it could be that we don't nurse.
Which table?
The food
right.
table.
Which
yeah.
table?
The
yeah.
food. Yeah.
Like they're welcome at the food table, but what other table I won't attend.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I won't go there or I'm not going to be there. I protest that.
Yeah.
I protest. So this is a division in the family. So,
yes,
Jesus did say that.
Yes, that's right.
That I came not to bring peace, but a sword. And that is part of the Christian life. It's to be separate from sinners, 2 Corinthians 6:18. So to separate ourselves, I mean, and the Old Testament, I mean, it is strong.
Yes,
in
it is.
Deuteronomy 13, there are strong passages, and Achan in the book of Joshua, the Korah rebellion in Numbers 16, 17. So let's face that too as Christians, that our family, that we are this way, and there might be some family members that would protest against our protest.
Yeah.
And there you have a division, but then you have to decide in wisdom, is that division is a welcome division.
Yeah.
And that might be, it might be that I will communicate, I will love them, I will let them know that I love them, but I don't accept the lifestyle that contradicts what I believe and what I feel is best for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. I think really a lot of, you know, it's taken me a long time to learn this, maybe. Maybe I finally realized it, but that a lot of my problems with other people and family members are really problems with myself. You know, it's really, I'm not really content in who I am or what God's made me to be.
Okay.
And it's like, you know, it can happen in a business situation. It could happen in a church organization. You know, why don't I have this and this guy has that? And you can live in envy and jealousy and those kind of things. But I'm really not satisfied with God. It's like I don't have my relationship with God is not what it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I'm nurturing the relationship that I have with God, then I will have character. I will have the content from the Word of God, and we get these things. And that's why church is important, because you can get that. You can come to church really, you know, feeling discouraged and disconnected, and then you can find a connection in a church. So, but, you know, character, content, and then just, what is it? What's the next point? I lost it. It's gone. Wherever it gone, it'll come back. It came back the other day with Paul when we were doing a show. I lost something and it came back. If it comes back, I'll interrupt you. but I just think like that. I think that like there's only so much space that I can create. My own heart really needs, like your drawings that you do with that empty heart, is really like if I'm not filling that space inside of myself properly with God, His Spirit, His Word, and then I am going to be like, you know, I'm going to project that onto other people, but it's really like I'm, you know, the real issue is like what's going on inside of me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, that creates, I think, maybe the kind of, you know, it's my relationship with God is the first function. And if that function is not operating properly, then I'm then I'm prone to dysfunction all around the everywhere I go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, in Bible school, we were taught when you get up in the morning, get on your knees and say to God, fill me with your spirit.
Yeah.
And what a simple lesson. And when you live in your house, just that's the starting point. It's not your kids or not, or your wife or your husband, but its starting point is God, and I need him to fill me.
Yeah.
And then I can be used as a tool of God to minister to people.
I think all these relationships are really centered in the relationship between the Father, Son, and the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He's given us families, you know, in order to create relationship space for relationships, and so that love can be shared. And, you know, without, you know, creating, you know, man was alone, and then he's not alone because it wasn't good. It wasn't the fulfillment of what God had in mind, I think, for his, when he created man in his image, he said, well, I can't leave him alone because part of the image of God is that there is this relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And he had to make, he felt the need, he felt the desire, he felt the pleasure to create for man, from man, this person who is different from him and has her own mind. And so now there's relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but I'm thinking that, you know, if there isn't this other person, then there isn't relationship, correct?
Yeah. Relationship. And I have here in this book, Little Red Book of Wisdom, this chapter, just to comment on that.
That's by Mark DeMoss. If you're watching, you can find it. It's a great book.
And he says, when my children were little, I taught them that words have power. Stupid and shut up. Closed doors. Please and thank you opened them. As my kids grew and moved into the world, I taught them a few phrases that, in my experience, can unbolt shut doors.
Mm.
So you're saying love your wife and love our kids. So, like, what words do we use to open the doors of their hearts and to keep the communication flowing? And he has four phrases. One of them is, in my opinion, mm-hmm. like when you're talking and you offer your opinion, you're not dictating to everybody in the house, but you could just say, use that phrase. You can put it in your own context, like, in my opinion, you know.
Yeah. It's not
like you don't have to say yes or no. You can just give an opinion.
Yeah, and it's not a statement of authority. You're not saying this is what, you're not saying this is the law. I'm just saying this is what I think.
Yeah, like it could be your daughter could say, could I use the car? And you could say, well, I don't want to answer yes or no, but I want to give you an opinion.
Mm.
And that, like, softens the dialogue.
Yeah, okay.
That, like, changes the relation. In a way, it, you know, I'm giving you an opportunity to make your decision about using the car,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
So that would be one approach.
Yeah, to, true.
Should not shut the door with, you know. Another one is, what do you think? That phrase that could be used, the best counsel givers are counsel seekers. Mm-hmm. So that would be another time in the family when you could just say, you know, I need your advice.
Mm-hmm.
You could say it to your teenage son, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We have a problem with the garden. You know, I want to ask you, what do you think we should do with it in the future?
Mm-hmm.
It's really not working out very well.
Yeah.
You know, do you have an opinion on it? What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Asking somebody in your family to talk. Then another one is, as a phrase, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. And then the last one is, I don't know. Like when you are leading in your family and the family is talking and they say, Dad, what is your opinion on this. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It sounds like weakness if you don't know. But it's also inviting others to give their opinion or to talk. So I don't know. I'm an advocate of like being with people and enjoying their company and them feeling like they have value.
Yeah.
So it's not one directional.
Yeah.
But there, it's a team, you know, work as a team and ask questions and talk with your family members and even draw out maybe the poison that could be inside there and say, I know that you're angry with your sister, but I have a question to ask you, you know, what happened? What's, you know, how did we get here? Tell me about it, for example.
Yeah, like, well, yeah, I know that book that, you know, Mark DeMoss talks about the importance of Proverbs. And when the proverb is like, in a multitude of counselors, there is safety.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're asking those questions, what do you think? This is my opinion. Mm-hmm. What do you think? You know, and then what's the third one was?
I don't know. No. Okay. And then in my opinion.
In my opinion, there's, what do you think? And then I don't know. Yeah. And.
And let's put it like this. Even if Cain and Abel are walking in the field and Abel has this skill, okay?
Yeah.
He can talk, he can listen, and he can say to Cain, what's your opinion on this?
Yeah.
It doesn't take the hatred out of Cain's heart.
No.
And it doesn't solve the problem.
Yeah.
And Cain is going to kill him. How do we know this? It happened with Jesus.
Yeah.
The best communicator, the wisest man, and they killed him. Because we're not saying that these are little tricks that will guarantee you a functional family. But we are saying, let's find the baseline for what is normal and go for that. And when it gets dysfunctional, let's recognize it and bring it back from the edge and build up. And let's hope by God's grace we can help our family members find a very useful, joyful, fruitful, productive, communicative, feeling, human family with God present.
That's true. I would say there's other phrases that you've said before, preached from, like, I'm sorry, I was wrong, please forgive me. Those are another, you know.
Yeah.
You know, those are another three phrases
from,
that.
Billy Graham, I think.
Yeah, I think those are another three phrases that, particularly if you're feeling offended and if you've made offense, you've done offense, it's like, can you come to that, you know, And can we reach that place? You know, Jesus is saying, you know, forgiveness 70 times seven. It's like these are impossible things to do without the Spirit and without Christ guiding us in that. So, you know, to lead a family requires God. It requires a local assembly. It requires, requires humility, and it requires to be able to see to see the need to say these kind of things and to forgive and to be forgiven and that kind of thing. You know, that's a big deal, right? Well, I think we did it. I think we had a good conversation. I think looking at it, amen and amen. Thank you, Aretta. That's good. This is so true. And this has been the Grace Hour Show, a ministry of Greater Grace Church here in Baltimore, Maryland. The pastor of our church has been with me today, Pastor Tom Schaller. We have services Sunday mornings, 9 and 11, and also Sunday evenings, 6:30. We'd love for you to come by and be a part of our assembly. Also Wednesday nights, 7 p.m., you could be a part of our church service. And we also have Bible College here, Maryland Bible College and Seminary. Next week is a chance for you to come and sample. If you want to come and see what Bible College is all about, every night next week, the holiday, Martin Luther King Day, we will have classes that evening and all through the week, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Come on by at 6025 Moravia Park Drive. You might, in Baltimore, 21206 is the zip code. You might find know, a place where you can learn more about the Bible, right?
Yeah.
Next week.
Find out
come
what's
on.
Normal.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. All of us dysfunctional people come together and find out that there is one normal, and that is the person of Christ. Thanks, Pastor Schaller. This has been Pastor Steve Andrelonis with you. You can find more out about the Grace Hour at gracehour.org. You can rewatch these episodes at YouTube and Facebook, and our podcast is on Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and Stitcher and Audible. Did I get them all? I think I got them all. Thanks, Jehu Vandiver, for being the guy at the board today. Everyone have a great afternoon.